This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, continuing my conversation with Suzanne Posell and Vinnie Eastwood. Vinnie, you were making points about actually notifying the police. Was that the Washington, D.C. police about Santilli's actions and apparent confiscation of funds?
Well, yeah, and also he's been reported to the FBI. He's been reported to the Secret Service. He's been reported to police. Yet.
Well, I have an update on that.
Tell us, Susan. Go ahead.
He was threatening a woman who is a co-host on Freedomizer Radio. And she lives in B.C. And she and I were talking on the phone this morning. The five-week investigation is complete. And the Canadian police believe that combined with the terroristic threats he made about Hillary Clinton, as well as threats to shoot this woman in her vagina, they are considering this terrorist threat, and the Canadian police are going to speak with the United States about Mr. Pete Santilli. She is also in contact with another gentleman who Pete threatened to rape and shoot his wife and shoot him, and he reported that to the Texas Police Department, in Texas, the police department where he lives. And so they're talking with California. And so I directed her to speak to that gentleman as well as the gentleman who's working with the D.C. police, because there are three independent investigations going on right now. But if they all combined, this would definitely be something that be worth extradition and remove Pete Santilli from California and have to answer for charges in D.C., Canada, and in Texas.
This is fascinating. I mean, this man's character appears to be quite warped and perverted. I mean,
well, I think the word
all the stories, all
the word is evil.
Is true. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, the word is evil, Jim. I mean, there's no greater embodiment. Or in fact, actually, there is a better word. He is the very embodiment, epitome of the word that I've created called scumbaggery.
Scumbaggery,
yes. All right. The scumbaggery of Santilli knows no bounds. I mean, you know, you're familiar with Dune, you know? Do we have scumbaggery sign? Sir, we have scumbaggery the likes of which even God has not seen. That's Pete Santilli.
What's very strange? Where did this guy come from? How did he grow up so warped? I mean, this is a very strange personality and that he should be on the radio? I mean, that's practically bizarre all by itself.
Well, it appears that I don't know much about his high school or childhood, but when he was in the Marines, he was a Lance Corporal. He was an E3. I asked my father about E3 because he left the... It's very low rank.
Yeah,
my father said, that's
rank,
a dum-dum.
Sure.
He was an aviation ombudsman, so he was not moving conventional weapons across the country. He was moving a box from an airplane to a platform or the flatbed of a truck. Very low rank. He probably would not have been given any type of secret FBI or you know, military clearance to work on any kind of documents at all. And I've since retracted those articles that I wrote about that because it's just not true. He attended school right out of the Marines, a tech school in Southern California, cashed in his GI Bill, and then left, dropped out of school. So
the security clearance you'd have would be more a function of the duties you are performing rather than your rank. But Lance Corporal is indeed a lesser rank. I mean, even in the enlisted ranks, I mean, you know, Corporal. He never made corporal. Corporal is usually a sign that a person is a reasonably competent and capable enlisted man. And then, of course, beyond corporal, sergeant, various ranks of sergeant, staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, first sergeant. I mean, there are a whole host of ranks. But, I mean, for him, how long was he in the Marine Corps? A couple of years?
83 to 88.
5 years and he only made Lance Corporal? I wonder if he was ever a higher rank and busted. I mean, you know. That's, I know, very isn't that strange. I would think someone would make Lance Corporal in like a year and a half, not 8 years.
No, yeah. So, yeah, he was in there for 5 years, and he didn't even do anything with it.
Yeah.
He was not the person that he purports to be. He worked for a manufacturing company who made bottles that happened to be filled with Coca-Cola. He did not work for Coca-Cola. He found out that the truckers who were shipping from the bottling plant the products that happened to be Coca-Cola were getting misappropriated on their time stamps and their checks.
You mean they're being shorted on the time clock? They weren't being paid for the time they put in?
Yes, and he found out about the, and he kind of attached himself to that whole deal.
So did Sam Tilly parlay the fact that he'd been a trucker himself working for Coca-Cola?
No, he
wasn't even.
He intimidated the legal team. He intimidated the legal team of that particular class action lawsuit of the truckers versus Coca-Cola into putting his name on that piece of paper along with the truckers, who he had basically nothing to do with. He wasn't even a trucker himself. He wasn't even owed any overtime. You know, he was just trying to get his name on that document so that when they won their case, without his help at all, he can then go out and claim to everybody, I led the entire prosecution and won against Coca-Cola. So now all of a sudden you hear that, you're like, wow, this person must be really amazing. He must be incredibly trustworthy and really honorable and stuff. And then you start sharing all your ideas with this amazing, honorable and trustworthy person, and he steals them! He's
now,
onto it.
Strange. I had this odd event yesterday where it turned out that somebody had hijacked my email address, which Gordon tells me is a relatively simple thing to do, and sent out a file under my name saying, you know, please open this file. You know, I mean, it wasn't the way I would ever communicate with anyone, but it was done under my name, and it appears to have gone out to at least 100 people. And from what I'm being told, it's some sort of executable file. I don't know that anyone has suffered any harm from it. I have heard some people tried to open it and couldn't open it before I got to them to tell them that I hadn't sent it and they should delete it. But I'm just wondering, I mean, it has been traced back to a server in Arizona. I just wonder if this could be sort of an anticipatory strike by Pete Santilli because I'm featuring you guys to discuss him today. I mean,
well, Pete Santilli took, it's called spoofing. There was a bunch of emails that were sent to people that I knew in the movement, people who had showed up on my show and people I had relationships with, you know, business, you know, peer-related relationships. And the reason why I found out about this was because when he was spoofing my emails, he sent me an email. And so I gave it to the hosting company that I was with at the time, and they told me that it did not originate on my server, explained to me what a spoof email was. And we traced the IP address to a company in New York and that is owned by someone who shows up on Pete's show.
So you're telling me Santilli has done this spoofing in the past so that I might actually be right in my conjecture that he might have had to do with this
yesterday?
Yeah,
there's a way. There's a way. My husband might be able to show you. There's a way that you, when you pull up the email, you can look at the back script of the email, and inside every email is the originating IP address inside of every email.
Well, I listen, Suzanne, let me send this to your...
You can email it to my husband. And
yeah, and see if he can do anything with it, because, I mean, it was just dawning on me as we were talking here that, you know, the only person I have ever had an encounter with who might do something as crude and juvenile as this might be Pete Santilli. So even without knowing that he'd done this in the past, I'm conjecturing, just thinking out loud, could he possibly have been responsible? And you tell me he's been doing this in the past.
Yes. Yeah, he did it to me. He sent it to a bunch of people that I work with in the movement. And I didn't notice, I noticed that people wouldn't respond to me or wouldn't come on my show, and I didn't know why. And I got this email, and it was admin at Occupy Corporatism to admin at Occupy Corporatism, and I said, what the hell is this? I was with 1&1 at the time, so I mailed it to them, I have the email verifying that it didn't originate on their servers, so I didn't send the email. And they explained to me what, and my husband went on a couple of websites. Spoofing email is a very easily obtainable, downloadable program or software or whatever. I'm not sure what you call it. Anybody can do it. It's like the easiest hack you could possibly do.
That's what Gordon told me, because I told him what had happened to me. I even sent him a copy of it, and he said it's called spoofing, and there's a real simple program to do it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You see, and again,
I mean, how infantile, but then that's consistent with the character of this man.
Well, exactly. I mean, you can assume the worst, but you can't hope for the best.
Yes, assume the worst, but we can't hope for the best.
Yeah, and this is why Pete Santilli must be exposed entirely, completely. I believe he is a criminal and should be jailed after a very fair trial by a jury of his peers. I believe his rights should be respected, and will give him precisely the opposite of what he's given everybody else: justice.
Now, I found Stu Webb's article, which Gordon had removed, according to Stu, from Veterans Today, possibly because of...
There's a reason for that. The reason why it was removed is because Gordon feels... and he said this to me before, and I happen to agree with the mentality to an extent, that the best approach is to just say nothing, to go like, what, Pete who? I disagree for this particular reason. He's growing in fame and popularity by the day, right? He's hurting and destroying more lives by the day. And you imagine all the time wasted by people listening to his broadcast, who are being fed nothing but lies, when there are many, many great radio shows and credible journalists out there that actually deserve their ears more, I believe, because they're not trying to threaten or intimidate you. And that's why I believe there has to be a movement of good, honorable, decent people who are willing to stand up for what is right and bring Pete Santilli to justice, because you can't do this on your own, okay? Suzanne Posel and I tried to do it by ourselves. Suzanne's website got hacked. It was down for like, what, nearly a month, Suzanne?
Absolutely corrupted and destroyed.
Yeah, they had to start from scratch. Unbelievable. She had a website that was like among the top 10,000 websites in the world, and it got taken down and had to start from scratch.
Really?
Yes.
And that was
after we reported him for cyberstalking to the police, to the DHS, to the FBI.
Well, that's got to be a criminal offense. There must be sufficient laws about cyber, you know, conduct.
As we say, there are currently three investigations, so Suzanne says, that are currently looking into this guy. I have a sneaking suspicion that because he's an informant, alleged informant, that his basically somebody will get a phone call and they'll say, "Leave this guy alone. He's one of our agents. He's one of our informants."
Some degree of protection.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because he threatens the FBI at the Department of Justice. He threatened to expose them if they didn't protect him from us. He threatened the FBI, saying that if I am exposed, I will tell my side of the story, which is probably a lie, that you approached me, that you intimidated me into it. So if the direct opposite of everything Santilli says is generally the case, that means, and this is the real scary part, what if he actually approached the FBI to say, "I'm a former Marine, I want to work with you to sabotage the truth movement, and what I want out of it is a big giant radio show so I can have a whole bunch of victims to feed off.
Well, you know, there are several curious aspects about this, in particular in relation to Judy Wood and Pete Santilli, because at one point I got some huge email, you know, promoting Judy Wood, and as I recall, it was attacking me, and it went to about, there were at least 10 copies on the list. And when I replied to it, one of them bounced, and it bounced from the ADL, from the Anti-Defamation League, leading me to believe that Judy was, you know, doing her thing for the ADL, which made me to try to defeat anyone from looking into 9/11 far enough that they understand there was collusion between the neocons and the Department of Defense and the Mossad to promote, you know, to bring about an event that would lead to a revision in American foreign policy, where instead of only attacking a country if it had attacked us first, we became the aggressor nation and launched all these wars in the Middle East to destabilize the governments of the modern sophisticated Arab states who are standing as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the Middle East, which appears to have been the, you know, one of the primary objectives of the contrived events of 9/11. Plus, of course, all these Muslim nations, because Islam forbids usury, are nations in which there were no central banks, and, you know, that the Rothschilds' empire was basically excluded from the Middle East because of the religious tradition there, where I was absolutely struck when the rebels in Libya, their first act was to found a new central bank, and it was obvious to me at that point that things were not as they were supposed to be. But if Judy, you know, it suggested to me rather strongly, this woman just happened to be out of her office, so that, you know, over the weekend or whenever, so that this email bounced and it identified her as with the ADL. I mean, is there collusion between the ADL and Judy and Santilli and the FBI somehow all together to thwart and subvert research on 9/11? I mean, could that be part and parcel of what this is all about?
Well, I've said it for a long time. When it comes to scumbaggery, there's no upper limit, right? There's a limit to how good you can be, but there's no limit to how bad you can be. That's one of the great things about the human condition, is that to be good isn't to do, like, amazing things so much as it is to exercise restraint. To do evil is to have absolutely none. That's what I've started
to say. The point you're making actually is impeccable, because the good guys are constrained by not being willing to resort to techniques, methods, and ways of doing things that bad people aren't restrained from doing. So
exactly.
Good guys should act in an ethical fashion and always treat other persons with respect, but bad guys are perfectly willing to use other persons purely as means to advance their own agenda, which is well illustrated by classic cases of murder, robbery, kidnapping, and rape, where people are just reduced to being instruments to advance the interests of others without any regard whatsoever for their own well-being or best interests.
Well, this is why a number of people have approached me, talking to me about Pete Santilli. They don't want to get involved. I'm not going to mention their names or anything like that. But some of them take my side but don't want to come public. Some of them are confused because they don't know who's lying. And it's like this. You've got two choices. I mean, after reviewing the evidence, okay, review everything Pete Santilli said about me and everybody else who criticizes him, and then view what other people are saying criticizing about Santilli. That's actually quite a workload, okay? You've got to go there in order to get to the real truth of the matter. So this radio broadcast is actually a very good idea, Jim, and I thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to come on and talk on this topic, because you're doing so willingly, and I would actually recommend anybody who wants to come out and publicly criticize Santilli, do not do it blindly, okay? Go in with your eyes wide open. He has an army of followers. He has no scruples. He will come after you. He will threaten you. He will defame you. He may hack you. He may do all sorts of things. And so if you want to come out and support us, just understand what it is that you're risking. Okay, I understand what I'm risking because I understand what is at stake. I understand that the country of the United States is at stake. And that if you've got violent, aggressive, patriot talk radio show hosts who are calling to storm the White House with guns, who are calling to shoot leaders, who are calling to have special forces take out the leadership, as he has done on another broadcast, then that can tar all of us with that brush. This ain't a freedom of speech thing. This is, he will be used. This is now what's occurring to me. The FBI might have told Santilli, go out there and say the most craziest, most insane, horrific, violent, aggressive things that you possibly can against the US government, which we're going to use as a pretext to cut down on every single patriot who is doing a radio show like yours.
Well, this makes him a classic agent provocateur. I mean, that's a well-known role of those who go into a movement or a group and try to encourage them to do things, to incite them to actions they normally would never have done in order to bring about or justify a retaliation.
Mm.
I mean, you know, that's a classic role, the agent provocateur. We had a thing here in Wisconsin where this huge mining company wants to create an enormous open pit iron mine up near Lake Superior. And I think it's just ghastly, absolutely ghastly idea. And there's a Republican legislature here that's working in concert with them. And we have a Republican governor who is an opportunist of the most crass variety and who's aided and abetted by the Koch brothers. And where I think to attempt to discredit critics of the mining operation, which is just going to be catastrophic for the environment and for Wisconsin, which has this wonderful past tradition of environmental protection and progressivism, they had some little band, you know, threaten to dynamite or blow up or do some violent action up there, because of which then Global Tectonic, this company, hired mercenary, you know, forces that had automatic weapons. They were violating the law in doing it, but they stationed them all over the place, allegedly to protect them from the onslaught of these radical environmentalists. And I believe the whole radical environmental thing was a completely contrived event to serve as a provocation. And then the state overlooked the fact that they had all these armed mercenaries stationed all over the place in violation of state law. And if you do that, you're not allowed to have them serve for a year in the state under the law. But these Republicans are perfectly willing to violate the law willy-nilly if it benefits them somehow. And I have no doubt it's benefiting them somehow, quite possibly financially, because this is turning out to be an astoundingly corrupt administration, so far as I can tell. I mean, you know, I'm just shocked. When I moved down here to Wisconsin, I from Minnesota, which is also generally a very progressive state, I actually felt I was getting an even better situation, because Wisconsin has this wonderful tradition of support for public education, a wonderful system of higher education, a progressive liberal tradition going back to Bob La Follette, fighting Bob and all that, and basically a government that is a good steward for the community and the public interest. But we got this new governor, Scott Walker, and he's done all kinds of things to undermine. He fabricated a massive budget deficit, which appears to have been just an illusion, not a reality. And he has gutted public education to the tune of $800 million. He turned down a similar amount, $800 million from the federal government to create a high-speed rail from Milwaukee to Madison, which meant that to create the interstate system, they had to go all the way around Wisconsin to get to Minneapolis. He came in claiming he was going to get jobs going here in the state, but he's had a miserable record. And I think that Wisconsin has been constantly dropping. And part of the problem, of course, is he's doing all these things, like giving tax breaks to companies that aren't the reason why companies would come to Wisconsin. They come to Wisconsin because it has great public education, because it's a very environmentally friendly state, very progressive state, and all that. And he's gutting the very reasons why companies would come here for the very base consideration of giving them tax cuts. I mean, it's just stunning. In my opinion, it's impoverishing Wisconsin in a manner that I have never imagined even possible, just in the short period of time I've been here since I moved in 2006 from Duluth to near Madison. I've just been dumbfounded by all these.
And
but
now
the role of provocateurs seems to me to be exactly what you're describing in relation to Santilli, Vinny. It sounds to me as though he's a classic agent provocateur.
And now we have to go to a break, Jim.
Yeah, I think we do. Let me check. Jim, let me check the timing on this thing so I can see. I may have let us go over.
Yeah, about 30
seconds.
I'm
telling you, this is really fascinating stuff. And the idea that he could have been spoofing me in anticipation of my having the two of you on is really striking. Clearly, he's keeping his ear to the ground, and he's just as vindictive as he's ever been, and he doesn't want discussion of him taking place anywhere at any time, including here and now. So
it's time to do the direct opposite of everything that he wants.
Yeah, really quite a remarkable situation. So this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal. We're taking our final break with my special guests, Susan Posell and Vinnie Eastwood. We'll be right back. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, concluding my conversation with Susan Posell and Vinnie Eastwood. I want to tell you guys, I read this article, you know, that the Stu had written that Gordon took down on the Avalon Project Avalon Forum, which I believe is run by a lot of pilots, members of Pilots for 9/11 Truth, if I'm not mistaken. But there's one guy named Weezer who had a comment about it that I've got to read to you guys to elicit your reaction. He says, regarding Pete Santilli exposes FBI informant VT article, I hope Eastwood and Posell are able to let go of this severe hostility towards Santilli and move forward. The infighting is such a waste of time. We all need to work together. I am a fan of the Pete Santilli show because he continues to bring forward excellent guests and has two of my favorite guys in alternative media on his team, Jason Leah Santos and Patrick Hennington. These guys are professional journalists with utmost integrity. I think many Avaloners would enjoy their work. And then there are two links here to 21stCenturyWire.com and to JasonLeahSantos.com. For the record, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, Eastwood, Posell, and Webb are putting out fabricated information. It's very sad to see Posell and Eastwood's obsession for getting back at Santilli. They just end up looking pathetic and desperate. Their shows are no longer about exposing the real enemies, military, industrial complex, the super elite, etc., but instead about what a psychopath Pete Santilli is.
Well, this person has obviously never listened to either one episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show or one episode of Hardline News with Suzanne Posell. Because do you know how many of our shows that we've spent talking about Pete Santilli since all this incident happened? Not one.
How many?
Not one.
Zero.
All the comments and everything that we've done.
I was on my show last Thursday, and we were talking about the corruption in the electoral process and with the Diebold and all of that debacle. And my fans are very happy with the guests that I bring on my show.
Yeah.
And I don't spend any time. I wrote this article about Pete Santilli because it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
Because if there's another Hal Turner in our midst, then we need to take a look at this evidence and weed it out.
Well, just for the record, I mean, after my experience with Santilli, which I thought was so bizarre, I published an article entitled Lunatics Are Us, the Santilli-Wood Sunstein Gambit, which I published on Veterans Today, and I hope everyone will read because it really recounts in considerable detail what I went through and how bizarre it was. Just for the record, I want to read the rest of this. It's only about as much longer as I've already read, just because this guy is trying to stand up for Santilli, and I want to present the other side to the extent to which there is one. He goes on to say, Vinny can't get over Pete taking his idea for Guerrilla Media Network earlier this year. Yeah, Pete was wrong for doing that, but it doesn't mean it's okay now to just make up stories to reduce his listenership, does it? They are perpetuating and exaggerating rumors with no factual basis to serve a personal vendetta. Ever since January of this year, Apostle and Eastwood's number one objective in life has been to go after Santilli. And quite frankly, I think it was Gordon Duff who inspired them to do so. It's a lot about minimizing what Dr. Judy Wood brought forward. Anyone who has listened to the Duff recording Santilli published heard Duff admit he works with the Israelis because they get the job done. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course Duff should be exposed for that. Duff is an egotistical maniac who constantly brags about how big time he is, but then why is he taking the system down? Who does he work for? Is Santilli controversial? Yes. Does he have a radical way of expressing his justified anger toward Clinton and Obama? Sure. Does he record each and every conversation and cover his ass? Yes. But so what? I'm all for that level of transparency. Like anyone else on AFR, Pete wasn't afraid to question Fetzer. Unlike anyone else on AFR, Pete wasn't afraid to question Fetzer and Duff. I commend him for that. If people don't like Pete Santilli's vulgar style and radical delivery, then they don't have to listen. Huh. I think that's pretty strange. And, you know, how was he not afraid to question me, for example? He wasn't questioning me. He was verbally assaulting me. It was like using clubs, you know, verbal clubs to bash me. There was nothing rational or reasonable about it unless his objective was to try to put me in a position where I was going to abandon the show. That was really what he was after. He kept asking me, "You're not going to leave now, Jim, are you? You're not going to leave, are you?" And I assured him, "No, I'm not going to leave because I knew damn well I wasn't going to leave. I knew he wanted that more than anything. I just knew, like Muhammad Ali, I was going to do the rope-a-dope and see how this all played out.
I'm going to be dancing. He ain't going to land a blow on me. I'm going to dance."
"Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee."
Yeah. "Float like a
hero," by the way, along with Bill Russell and Jack and Bobby and a number of others, but there you have it.
Yeah. Fetzer like a butterfly.
Any merit whatsoever to what this fellow whose name is handle is Weezer?
It's the direct opposite of every. Basically, try and read it out again and then use the direct opposite of what he's saying, and that will be the truth, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, me and Suzanne tried to, for a good six or, what was it, a good six, seven, maybe even 8 months or something, didn't do nothing about Santilli, okay? We're just sitting in the background, hoping he goes away, and he keeps mentioning us on his frickin' radio show. He keeps going. He keeps demonizing us. He keeps attacking us, and we just got frickin' sick of it, you know? I mean, we're trying to leave him alone. Sure, he stole my company. Frickin' take it, okay? You probably can't even make it work the way it's meant to anyway. It's really frustrating for me because everybody thinks Guerrilla Media is mine when he's stolen it or something like that. So if he does something bad, it comes back to me and people say that I'm saying it and it promotes confusion and all of that kind of stuff. I'm willing to put up with that. But what I'm not going to be putting up with. Is not only is he attacking and defaming me on his radio show on a regular basis, but on top of that, he's attacking, destroying, derailing movements of good, honest, hardworking, decent Americans who are trying to save the country from frickin' tyranny while he's working for the enemy. Okay? Yeah, I'm not going to frickin' put up with that. I'm not even an American, and even I know that that's freaking wrong.
This is my issue. There is a document that's coming from Pete Santilli to the FBI field office in Sacramento, California. And what it says is very, very damning. There's a screenshot of the e-fax where it originated and showing that it was successfully sent to the FBI field office. So why are we talking about infighting? Why are we talking about whether or not Suzanne Posel or Vinnie Eastwood likes Pete Santilli? This is about a document that was sent from him to the field office and the contents of that document. And everyone is talking about everything but that document. And that bothers me.
Everyone's talking about everything but that document. Nice point. Suzanne, very nice point.
Now
that is
there's a difference.
That is the strongest proof that he actually is working as an informant for the FBI.
Now there's a difference
and it's
between
also in alternative media. there a lot of big names in alternative media have contacted me about this, and the purveying attitude is infighting. They won't even look at the document.
Is this infighting? I mean, you know, we all know. I mean, that's why it was the Santilli, Wood, Sunstein gamut. Cass Sunstein was on the faculty of Harvard Law School. He's now an advisor for Obama. Some say he may become a justice of the Supreme Court, who proposed infiltrating truth groups to try to break them apart. In other words, he was complaining about them offering so many conspiracy theories, and his response was to offer a conspiracy in order to take them down. I mean, how dumb is that?
Well, there's PatCon, and there's the MIAC report, and there's right-wing extremism. They have been trying to radicalize the Patriot movement for many decades. Pete Santilli is telling his listeners to get guns and go to Pennsylvania Avenue and demand that everyone vacate the premises. Is this not PatCon? Is this not right-wing extremism? Is this not the MIAC report?
Yeah.
Well, it's a very bad idea, and it certainly fits the role of the agent provocateur, trying to get the people to do things that the government would like them to do so they can react and claim it was justified on the basis of the actions of the people who were instigated by individuals like Pete Santilli to commit events or acts that they would otherwise never have done.
Yeah.
It's crowd psychology. It's Gustave Le Bon. This is the same tactic that they use in the Arab Spring. This is a version of the Arab Spring that they're trying to bring here, to radicalize the Patriot movement so that they can bring down martial law and blame a bunch of people and take them off to FEMA camps and kill them.
Yes. I mean, there's a reason why Homeland Security has acquired 2 billion rounds of .40 caliber hollow point ammunition, which is not even permissible for use in combat under the Hague Convention of 1899. I mean, there's something very bizarre going on here. And of course,
why isn't the alternative media legitimately looking at this document and the screenshots? Anonymous brought forth this wonderful piece of information and documentation. Why is it not being looked at with any legitimacy? It's just being carted off because it's Vinnie Eastwood and Suzanne Posel. And if in 10 years down the road, we can look back and say, oh my God, they were right. Why do we have to wait that long? Why don't we just look at the document now as a movement and assess this and see if there's damage? Because if there's another Hal Turner in our midst, we are in trouble.
And would you say this information came to the two of you because you had expressed your disdain for Santilli for his style and his actions?
We've become a lightning rod for his victims. And that's why I started the coalition. It's one of the actual guerrilla media principles is to act much like a Macedonian phalanx formation, whereby you have shields all lined up next to each other. But your job with your shield isn't actually to protect yourself. It's not even to kill the enemy. It's simply to protect the person next to you. And if everybody's protecting the person next to you, nobody's back is uncovered. All right? So this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to protect all of these people who have been victimized by Santilli by giving them coverage, by putting them on YouTube, by supporting them in any way that I can with whatever documents they need, if they want to write articles, if they want testimony, in anything of that nature. I'm putting myself on the line here to protect all of those other people who are coming up against Santilli in this great time of need, because we've got the opportunity now to expose him once and for all, get him out of the movement, and really, this is actually kind of a historical context for the movement, where we've actually got the documents to expose one of our own, allegedly, as an actual FBI informant working within the truth movement. This is big news. This is really important. This is not infighting. Infighting is when you have a difference of opinion and people start calling each other names. This is when we found out he's a frickin' agent and we've got the documents to prove it, and we're exposing him so that he can't continue to provoke angry responses from the government against the Patriot movement. This does not qualify as infighting. If anything, this is like a mole hunt.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's a good comparison. That's a very good comparison, Vinny. What struck me about this note from Weezer is he says...
It's probably Pete Santilli, okay?
Well, it might be. He says, it's a lot about minimizing what Judy Wood brought forward. Well, look, I mean, I gave Judy Wood 15 radio shows, 3 hours to speak in Madison, published a chapter. You know, who's minimizing what Judy Wood did? The fact is, her theory can't account for the evidence at the Twin Towers. It doesn't explain where the 10 Twin Towers went. She's got a book that says, where did the Twin Towers go? And she has a subtitle that says, evidence for the use of the directed free energy technology on 9/11. And yet she denies she even has a theory. What could be more obvious than that her theory is that directed free energy technology was used on 9/11? When I called in when she made an appearance on the Bob Duskin show and asked her why she claimed she didn't have a theory, which is a philosopher of science, is to me such an obvious question when she obviously has a theory. She went kind of semi-catatonic. She didn't want to answer, you know. I mean, it was very, very strange. And I'm just wondering what it means if you have this collusion between Pete Santilli, who's an FBI informant, and Judy Wood, whose associates include the ADL. Something is going on there. And here's something about Judy Wood, too. She always emphasizes the how. We have to figure out how the buildings were destroyed before we can figure out the who and the why. Well, some of us can chew gum and walk at the same time. We've been doing research on the who and the why as well as doing research on the how. Check out my article, Peeling the 9/11 Onion, Layers of Plots Within Plots with Preston James, where we take apart the multiple layers of deception to conceal who was really behind 9/11, which is collusion between the U.S. neocons and the Mossad. This was a Zionist program to promote the interests in the Middle East by getting the United States to do the dirty work of Israel by dismantling the modern sophisticated Arab states. And I can only say thank God it appears to have ended with Syria, because the American people rose up in protest when Barack Obama wanted to drop cruise missiles into Syria in violation of international law. It was one of the most appalling displays of hypocrisy I've ever seen. There's no imminent threat posed by Syria under the UN Charter, which we're bound by a treaty, which under the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, has the same standing under the law as the U.S. Constitution. We could only attack another country if it either posed an imminent threat or we had approval from the UN Security Council. Neither was true. So although Obama claimed he was doing this to uphold international law, he was actually going to violate international law. And I just say, thank God for the American people. I've never been more proud, because even when they were subjected to gross exaggeration about the numbers who had been killed by the gas attacks, which appeared to have come from the rebel side, sponsored by Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, not from the Assad government. It would have been an absurd thing to do when the Assad government, the Syrian army, had the rebels on the run and a UN inspection team was about to arrive. There was no reason in the world why Assad would use chemical weapons, but every reason in the world why the rebels would have. In fact, Vladimir Putin gave the United Nations 100 pages of documentation that it was the rebels who used the gas and not the Assad government. But nevertheless, the people, even given the false claim that 1,450 people or such have been killed by the Assad government using chemical weapons, refused to approve it by like 90%. That was one of the finest moments in recent American history, I've got to say.
Well, they've just gone to Plan B, and I've been writing about this a lot. In fact, I've got another article coming out tomorrow about it. They, after 14 years of no polio, all of a sudden polio has shown up in Syria. And they've got this huge vaccination, the World Health Organization, the UN, they're going to vaccinate every single child in Syria, including the refugees that are in other countries. And the article that I have out today about it is that now experts are saying that this is going to spread to Europe. And all over Europe, they're going to have polio, and they've got to vaccinate everybody going out from Syria.
But the vaccines, the vaccination program itself may be the weapon, the instrument of destruction.
It is the weapon. According to the World Health Organization and the CDC, and I've quoted this in my article, Polio is derived from vaccine-derived polio. So flaccid polio is derived from the vaccine.
Yep.
That it's on the CDC website and it's on the World Health Organization website, and I have the links in my article.
Sorry, because polio is one of the diseases that we had eradicated, so that it should suddenly be showing up means there has to be an inside source to provide that. I mean, this is absolutely incredible.
So we don't bomb Syria, but now they're using a bioweapon. And I wrote this article 2 days ago, and people should go to Occupy Corporatism and look this up about Syria. Back in the 2012, when all of this started, Hillary Clinton had announced that they were going to support, along with the UN, the State Department and the UN, the Syrian National Coalition. And just recently, the UN is going to be meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, and they are going to be talking about a regime change, installing the Syrian National Coalition instead of the Assad president. They're going to remove him and put in this council. Now, this council is run by a man who has ties, direct ties, to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, the Assad government, so far as I can see, has basically done nothing wrong. And it's just that this is the last two nations on the agenda. When Wesley Clark returned from serving as Supreme Commander, Allied Forces Europe, to the Pentagon, a general pulled him aside and said, hey, look at this. We got a plan to destabilize seven Arab countries in the next 5 years. And Wesley Clark said, why? And the general said, I don't know. Later he said, I guess they're just good at it. They just want to do something. But the fact is, this has been an agenda to promote Israeli interests.
Here's why.
And domination in the Middle East. Go for it.
Here's why they're doing it. The Israeli government found out that they have the Leviathan Basin, which is the largest, second largest natural gas deposit under the seabed in the Mediterranean. The Syrians, the Iraq and Iran Syrian pipeline was signed into into production 2 years ago, and this pipeline would directly serve natural gas to all of Europe and Asia. Now, the Israeli government has just found out that they have so much natural gas that there's no purpose for them not to be the number one or number two or even number three exporter in the country of natural gas. So Syria is right in the middle of that pipeline. And that is directly why they're taking Syria out. Right before all this stuff happened with Syria, people need to remember that in this area, they had, I'm sorry, not in Syria,
Suzanne, I think you're right on top of this, and I think it's very important that you're writing about it, and that all Americans need to understand better what's going on in the Middle East, because none of it is as it seems, and
right.
Barack Obama, I'm sorry to say, does not have clean hands here, and nor does, of course, AIPAC, which is going to redouble its effort to try to get us to attack Syria and continue these sanctions on both Syria and Iran, even though they're a form of collective punishment that the Nuremberg tribunals found to be a war crime, especially when our own intelligence agencies in 2007 concluded that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapons program, a conclusion they reaffirmed in 2011, which means
right. There
is no justification for these sanctions on Iran, which are doing a great deal of harm to the Iranian people, just as the sanctions on Iraq brought about the death of 500,000 Iraqi infants. And when Madeleine Albright was confronted and asked about this, whether it had been worth the lives of 500,000 infants, she solemnly assured the world it had been. How disgusting.
Yeah.
What has become of the United States and our loss of moral values, leadership?
That's right. The American government is not the American people, I don't think. American people, all the ones that I've met, generally very kind, very generous, often very fun. The American government, on the other hand, very evil, very corrupt, and full of scum.
Vinny and Suzanne, I'm so pleased you were here today. I expect now we can expect more in the way of spoofing and cyber attacks from the likes of Pete Santilli. It's a shame that we're having to deal with these issues, but I think everyone out there who cares about, you know, revealing the truth about 9/11 and other issues has to take this extremely seriously. This is Jim Fetzer thanking my special guests, Suzanne Possel and Vinnie Eastwood, for being here, and all of you for listening.